This is attorney David Famininio. The best way to protect ourselves from an accident is to be informed. That's why we started David's Driving Edge, to provide tips and resources to keep us all safe on the road. Go to getdavidgetpaid.com/drivingedge for more information.
Hey, real quick, and I'm not busting Jeremy Otto's balls, but stop throwing that all-star thing out there. Every team gets a player. The guy went 7-7 with a damn near 4 ERA. Okay, come on. It's like Kenny winning the hottest stud muffin award, and every other guy's a complete ogre. Cut it out. You didn't sign some great all-star. You signed a 37-year-old pitcher who can't stay healthy on a one-year deal because you are so, here, I'll be polite, fiscally responsible, you couldn't be bothered to sign a real pitcher. David, what do the ticket techs have to say about it? I'm trying to be fair, but Jesus, what are you selling to your fan base?
While this is a big wolf signing, it could be another Fetter miracle reclamation project. I still hate this team for this, but who knows? Yeah, reclamation project, at 37?
Yeah, but again, why are we still in Fetter reclamation mode? You have Tarek Skubal coming off a Cy Young. You have Reese Olson. This slots in perfectly for you to pounce and sign a big-time number two to take the pressure off of Job. I mean, at this point, okay, if this is the arm, if they don't sign any other arm, how's that acceptable? And basically, we should brace for impact. They're not going to sign a bat anybody cares about. So then, my question would be, then what is people's motivation to spend money? You know, I don't understand what this is. God, I would have come off last season, amazing vibes. Ready to go. Like, let's elevate this thing. Let's do this. God, this is just like, I can't. What am I going to tell the listeners, David? What am I supposed to say?
There's not much to say here. They're just coming through with this. Alex Cobb sounds like the second coming of Maeda. Can't wait.
He's better than Maeda, but that's not saying a lot. Again, why do we have two guys that are closer to 40 than anything else in this rotation?
I hear Tim Lincecum is available as well. Yeah. Let's go.
That's funny. That's really well done. Hey, I hear you can get Andy Pettit for a bargain.
Someone else texts in David Wells. Go get him. Wow.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. I mean, how bad is it? The tribe didn't want him back. And they're as cheap as the day is long. Why didn't Cleveland just want him? They're pitching savvy, aren't they? Why didn't Cleveland want him back?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
One-year deal, right?
Yeah.
Had him in your clubhouse, right?
My. I was looking into season tickets for the Tigers, but I'm not buying anything until I can see that the team is willing to put money into the organization.
David, they could win this division if they were halfway serious. That's my problem. It really is. Now, again, they have time to write the story, but we go by what we have. What we have right now is... you haven't gotten Skubal signed, and the reports are becoming true. They were never going to offer any term. Say, hey, does this sound familiar, Kenny? They don't want to sign anybody to term? Gee, I've heard that before on the ice. And they were only going to go after one-year arms. Okay, well, here we are. And now it would sound like we're not going to get any of the bats that we're interested in. And by the way, the guy was a complete dog in the playoffs. Go look at both his playoff starts. I'm sure you remember those.
Definitely feels like they believe last year really was a fluke and they're still, quote unquote, building.
Yeah, well, you know what? I ain't here for that. Let's go to the people, see what everybody's got to say. And again, the Dan Campbell calls are still totally fine with it. We'll try to run dual path. Let's go to Mark, 97.1. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Mark. What's up?
Hey, thing with the Tigers, I really want to think about this. Are we actually surprised that the Tigers are not spending any money? Has that ever been a part of the Tigers' way of doing business, spending money to get quality players in here to number one, to show, like you mentioned earlier, to show that they're serious about taking this team to the next level? We made the playoffs last year. You would think that'd be enough motivation right there to spend. I'm not saying go break the bank, but let's spend $250 million on somebody. Our arm, we need a second arm. And we definitely need a bat. They wouldn't go get this pitcher. I don't know who this guy is, but he's an SSI guy, 38 years old. What are you going to do? Throw it up under the underarm at the other team?
Look,
and they want us to buy tickets to come down there and support them.
Well, here, factually, ain't nobody buying tickets to go see Alex Cobb pitch. Like, I mean, you're not wrong there. I mean, Mark, I'm on board with you. I'm not telling you he's awful. That's not what this is about. But you have this opportunity to create something very special. Like, I knew early on, right? All right, they're never going to be involved with Corbin Burns or Max Fried or pitchers of that caliber. I know that. But you know what? The fact that you're not willing to give up term at all, that takes you out of every pitcher with a professional option. It really does. And this is Scott Harris bringing in another one of his boys from San Francisco. And you just look at it and you're like, is this the best we can do? No, the answer is no, candidly. Like, if they had brought in Walker Buehler on a 3-year deal, I would defend it. I'd salute it. I think there's real upside there. But when those reports from Rosenthal and from Evan Petzold came out, they're only going to offer 1 year to an arm. It's like, okay, that's like going to a car lot and saying you got $10. Yeah, bad news for you. You're not walking out of there with a car. And as far as the bat goes, look, there's still plenty of really good baseball players out there. I will give this team time. I'm not like pounding the desk and saying it's over. But if this part of the report is true, and we haven't seen Skubal signed after, quote, a non-competitive offer, well, then why would I doubt the reports that the only bat you've been mentioned with is a guy that's going to start the season on the injured reserve? No dreams of Alex Bregman. No dreams of, you know, whomever. I don't know who you guys are interested in. Maybe it's Santander. Maybe it's Teoscar Hernandez. Maybe, guys, it is up to you. I don't get married to one singular player. Look, I defended Cookies and Rieger and Rico. They had a guy they really wanted in Matt Chapman. I never cared about who it was. I just care that it was. It's the same thing here. I'm not going to die on the hill of one singular player. But it's, look, the Juan Soto thing has effect in Detroit because that's what the Habs are doing. I mean, okay, the Yankees didn't get Juan Soto. You know what the Yankees are going to do now? They're going to go sign three players for the same money. You have no chance against these teams. None. So why send that message to your fan base? Instead of, look, guys, we can't spend like the Yankees and Mets and Dodgers, but you know what? We can spend like a top 12 team in this league, a top 15 team in this league. And I don't want to hear about, well, you know, it's not time yet. You made the playoffs. Let's keep the momentum going. Let's support these kids. Now, look, if they bring in a big-time right-handed bat, maybe I can work my way around the Cobb thing, but boy, what evidence do I have to suggest they will bring in a big-time bat? What evidence do we got, guys? And the Rosenthal report I've alluded to, it is paywalled, but I can just give you this. One word, gun-shy. Or is that two words? Who cares? The point is, they don't want to make another Baez mistake. Well, then great. We've got the Athletics with a better logo. Is that what we're doing? And you don't have anybody but Skubal ready to get paid. There are guys on this team whose jerseys you own. They don't have to pay until 2028. I'm sorry, David, I apologize. I got callers, I'm sorry. I know I was supposed to go to you, but I get flustered, man. It's the New Yorker in me. I can't help it. 248-539-9797. We will go straight to the phones next, I promise you. Only Nat King Cole could calm me down. The dulcet tones. David, I have found maybe who the Tigers will sign next. I mean, you figure my age is 36, Cobb's 37. What about 38-year-old Carlos Santana? And I'm not talking the guitarist. There's your right-handed bat. The Tigers sign Alex Cobb to a 1-year deal. So look, if there's a lot more, I'll work my way to this. but I don't get to react to hypotheticals. I'm reacting to reality. Why is this baseball team doing this right now? Why is this baseball team continuing this one-year mercenary arm routine? Well, I don't understand it. And yet a year ago, they were willing to give a second year to Maeda. Yet I'm sitting here with this. There are no illusions that Alex Cobb will become Jack Flaherty. None. Jack, when healthy, there was some pedigree and some evidence there. Jack Flaherty's not 1,000. This guy's older than Methuselah. Second of all, this guy's been hurt 4 of the last 6 years. I really hope the reports are wrong, and I hope there's a lot more, and I hope we get to do some happy shows. Let's go to Carlos, 97.1. Carlos, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on? What's going on, Mike? How's it going, brother?
Okay, what are your thoughts?
So, I don't even know where to start, man. I'm going to be honest with you. The way I see it, I don't think the Tigers are going to spend big money. But the way I'm looking at it, man, if you're going to spend not top dollar to get Burns or get any of these guys, I don't know, man. It seems to me you might as well just go get some, like, mid-tier starters. I mean, I don't know. Like go, if you're going to not break the bank, go get Flaherty, go get Sean Manaea, you know what I'm saying? Something like
Walker. Right, but here's the thing. Hold on. Here's the thing. Those guys require term, 4 years, 5 years. When the reports came out the Tigers were only looking for one-year arms, you were dead. Walker Buehler won't take 1 year.
Yeah, that's the big problem, Mike. If we're going that route, Mike, at that point, you might as well just go with You might as well go with the accomplished vets with something to prove. If you're going to play that card, you might as well try to go get a star batter. Then go sign Scherzer, go sign Verlander, go sign Kershaw, go get Paul Goldschmidt at this point. And because if you're going that route, that's what he's doing. That's what they're looking at. And if they go that route, Mike, I am not going to be a happy Tigers fan, man. Because if you're trying to get one-year deals, those are the people they're looking at. And honestly, those are people we don't want to see, man. We just made the playoffs last year, and I don't care about – you need a veteran bat. I wish you can get like a Pete Alonso, a Santander, you know. You're going to go all AL, go to the NL West, man. You got Profar there. That whole division's got so many hitters. Christian Walker, Jock Peterson. I mean, I know he's a glove guru, sock him, but at the end of the day, man, you got to get something. I don't care if it's just one mid-tier. And get a couple batters if that's the point, man. I don't know. That's the route
that's what I'm waiting on. Carlos, and that's why I'm going to wait, because I don't think it's fair to eulogize someone who's still alive, right? Like, they still have time. But I don't have to be happy about this signing. I don't have to sit there and eat the gruel. I think it's ridiculous that this team, with this momentum, this is the arm they went and got. I mean, that's just silly. It's silly. Because even if Jackson Jobe is good, he's on an innings cap next year. And even if he's great, how does signing a legitimate arm hinder him in any way, shape, or form? I'm looking at it as Skubal, guy I sign, him, Olsen, and David's mom. There's my rotation. I'm trying to build something World Series caliber. Because the only shot you have against these other teams, like the Dodgers, Mets, Yankees, pitching. The only shot. You're never going to out-hit them. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. But I can't fathom, if you have the resources, this is the move. But then again, maybe Scott Harris is the perfect guy to work for Chris. Maybe he likes doing it this way. Maybe he thinks this is fun. I'm going to be smarter than everybody else. I don't know. I don't care. It's an entertainment product. They're not entertaining. It's not entertaining winning 2-1. And if you think you're going to have 13, 14, 15 wins, seventh inning and beyond, which led the league last year, you're not. You're also bottom five or bottom six in the league in home runs. It's just not going to happen. Now, let's see what they do from here. But that's not a good start to the offseason, in my world. If you like it, God bless. Do whatever you like. Go to Mark. 97.1. Hey, Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. Mark, what's up?
Mike, I feel your pain, because when this came across the radio. I was enjoying the conversation regarding Lions coach Dan Campbell, and then this comes up, and you're absolutely right. This is OpenAce 2.0. They're smartest people in the world. Harris is a young guy that's trying to make a name for himself, and at the end of the day, it's typical Ilitch. It's no different than that, how they run their pizza business. They make all kinds of promises that are going to build things, and then they sit on property and tear it down and put a parking lot up. Okay, well, same scenario. Promise the fans we're gonna spend big when we have the opportunity, and guess what? Air has been let out of the balloon.
You know, Mark, you know what's it. You know what's worse than promising and not delivering? Never promising a thing at all. It just floats down the river. I mean, hey, maybe there'll be a day we get to have a really fun show, Mark. And if you want to change the narrative, change it. If they don't like being called fiscally responsible, change it. They could own this town.
It's like Charlie Brown and Lucy. You can only pull the football away and make an idiot out of yourself so many times, and then you stop listening. So.
Yeah, and look, I will tell you, you know, we opened the show with it. Mark, I appreciate the phone call, brother, and we'll continue with the Dan Campbell stuff. We don't have to stop that. But look, the only news you've gotten on Scooble is they made a non-competitive offer. And I take that with a grain of salt based on it probably comes from the Boris camp, and they were never going to take the first offer. However, you know what we haven't heard? Tigers have aggressively countered. Tigers up their offer. Remember, nothing happens without that human bobblehead Jeff Passan reporting it. Where are those reports? You hear about... Hey, you remember how the Soto thing was reported on? Breathlessly reported on. It's 500, it's 600, it's 700. Cohen's willing to go to 800. Yankees go to 16 years. We knew more about Soto's contract than Soto did. All I have to go on is, well, it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of talk. And on one hand, you can't have reports that... Think about this. Why would you have a report that they're only willing to offer a year on an arm, but you wouldn't get a report about the Cy Young contract negotiations? Unless there's nothing to report. So if there's nothing to report, that scares me. Because priority one is getting him signed. Otherwise, I'm going to have to deal with Rico walking in here naked wearing a Burger King crown. Because then it's going to be like, well, then why didn't you deal him? You can't. And by the way, Boris clients are signing left and right. You know why? Because while some people wanted to bury Scott Boris and act like he had lost his mind, Boris knows he overplayed his hand last year. Now he's at the table dealing. Go look. I really hope this isn't the type of show we got to do moving forward. I hope we hear Scooble signs this week at the winter meetings. I hope they bring in a big bat. I want to say nice things. But I'm immensely frustrated because here's the thing. I'm not saying you can't win this way. I just don't think you can win at all. And that's the only thing I'm interested in. You know what this feels like? Win just enough to get the money out of your pocket. Be interesting just enough that you want to be a little member of that, you know, 1874 society, whatever the hell it's called. That's not what I'm here to do. I want to win the World Series. And this is not the approach of a team that's serious about winning a World Series. I mean, hell, the Texas Rangers are a pimple on an elephant's ass in the world of baseball. A couple of years ago, they opened a new ballpark. They went out and spent $500 million. Cutscene. World Series. It can be done. But the reports we get is, well, they don't want to have another Baez situation or a little gun shy. That's the Rosenthal report. And I'll give Petzold credit. Been all over it. Tigers are only offering. They like Walker Buehler. He's their top target, but they're only offering 1 year. Why are you beholden to a one-year offer? If Buehler wants two, give him two. Buehler has immense upside. Alex Cobb doesn't. And stop trotting out this fake all-star nonsense. Every team gets a rep. Congratulations, a guy with 7 wins made the all-star team. Stop it. I did it again, David. I started talking again. Damn it. 248-539-9797. We go to the callers next. I'm very upset. This is actually what they play at the end of every Red Wing game. Kenny sits alone. Let's go right to the people. We'll get back to Dan Campbell in the 5 o'clock. Tigers sign Alex Cobb to a one-year deal. It goes in line with the reports. That scares me. It's cheap. It's uninspiring. It's quintessential Tigers. We go to Joe, 97.1. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, Joe. What's on your mind?
So I wanted to weigh in on the Dan Campbell conversation.
Please.
One thing that this team used, like, you know, a lot of people are throwing around, like, how this is such a big problem and Dan is going to lose us games and yada, 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 right? Well, I would, you know, obviously him going for it on fourth down, it can have problems, right? Example, NFC Championship game last year, you know. That's the bad side of it. But the good side of it is if you watch the player interviews, like, you know, post-game locker room, like locker room celebrations, Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down helps our team play better. And what I mean by that is whenever offensive linemen talk about it, you know, Penei Sewell, like all the guys, they're like, Dan Campbell believes in us that we can pick it up. Even here you hear Jared Goff talking about a post-game.
Yes.
And they, like, take that personally, and they say, you know what, we can do this. And same thing on the defensive side of the ball. They're like, you know what, Dan Campbell believes in our defense enough to where he's willing to go for it on fourth down because he trusts that if they don't get it, we can get the stop. And it's like, how do you get guys to come in on a gotta-have-it win in, like, the same week to play against the Packers? You know, last week, these Jamal Adams, Quan Alexanders, you have to have a good – culture, right, for these guys to buy in and fly around. And I think that Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down really communicates to the teams that he believes in them, and that's contagious. And on the flip side of that, it's like we could have the problem where you look at, like, the Philadelphia Eagles with A.J. Brown. That guy's not going to be downfield blocking. All he's concerned about is how many times he's going to get the ball thrown to him. And personally, I would be a lot more scared about that in an NFC Championship game is my – key players being more concerned about getting the ball than winning the game. You know, he's not going to be blocking for Saquon on that critical, you know, second and nine.
Well, Joe, candidly, I'd be worried more about my team not being able to throw the ball, which is the Eagles. I mean, they're getting 200 yards a game rushing. Their passing game is non-functioning. It's broken. So you're right. And look, I agree with what you're saying about Campbell. It's more than just a gimmick or a bit. It's who they are. It's built into the fabric of this team. Please finish.
The one thing too is, like, for a lot of these people that don't, like, that are getting upset about Dan, I'm not saying you, because I personally agree with you that one that he went for and didn't go for, like, yeah, he should. I don't think he should have gone for on that one, the one that we didn't get against Packers. But most of these people that get upset, they don't watch enough Lions to realize that, okay, and they frankly don't know enough about football to be like, oh, they didn't get it on fourth down. That's so stupid. It's like, well, you haven't seen the other, you know, like, you look at the percentage. It's, like, ridiculous how many times we convert. And so, I don't know. I feel like that's just another thing. It's people being uneducated when they just blast them. It's anytime it doesn't work, it's like.
Well, and again, for the people just joining, right? So Joe brings it up. The national media has had a field day this week following a game the Lions won, mind you. And whether it's Teddy Bruschi, Colin Cowherd, I don't know. I don't care. The point is, they don't understand it. This is a part of the fabric of this team. It is how they're built. And Dan Campbell is a very intelligent man. He's a very thoughtful guy. If you look situationally Thursday night, I will never co-sign going for it, essentially inside my own red zone. I'm not doing it. That was a stupid decision. Period. Three of the other times, I didn't even think about it because it's who you are. You're not kicking a field goal inside the 10. It's just not who you are, not situationally where you're at. The last decision to go for it, where Goff fell down in slow motion, it's a toss-up. I think Campbell knows his team better than anybody. He knows his defense was dead. I have the best tackle in football. I got a short yardage demon in David Montgomery. We're going to go for it, bleed the clock, kick, and I'm out of here and have a couple of beers. I understand it. It's a bit of a coin flip, but I understand it. But when the national media attacks him, listen, I think when you're a trailblazer, you're going to catch flack. Dan Campbell's changing the way we watch football and, in essence, changing the way you play it. When you face the Lions and you think you're getting off the field on third down, no, you're not. And Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell and Jared Goff have a synergy about the approach and how they do things that they do it enough. Mind you, they're going for it less on fourth down this year. Why? Well, they're a better team. They don't get to fourth down as often. I'm not being a smartass. I'm just being serious with you. But they know fourth down is any down. That there's no pressure there because they've done it enough. They've repped it enough. Mentally, they know that's coming. And that makes it really hard in an era of the NFL where playing defense is largely impossible. The rules are geared completely towards offense, which, by the way, gives Dan Campbell even more fuel to do what he's doing. And look, you got to earn the right to do what Dan's doing. You earn the right to do this because you're that good. It's not like my G-men are rolling out and just going for it on fourth down and bumbling all over the field. They can't. You have the best offense. You got the best offensive coordinator. You have the pieces necessary to execute fourth and short better than anyone else. Why wouldn't you? Now, it doesn't mean I have to co-sign every decision. There's no scenario I'm going for it on my own 30, unless it's the last possession of the game and it's 14 inches. That was a ridiculous decision. Just like I'll never accept going on the road in division and faking a punt in the opening moments of the game. No, stop. Ridiculous. No one's perfect, though. But overall, I've just kind of come to grips with it. This is who you are. It's how the team's built. This is what we're going to do. And let outside people stress out. I'd be angry if I was an opposing fan. Man, I got the stop. How the hell am I supposed to stop these guys four times? Well, here's your memo. You're not going to. That's reality. And remember, people only start talking about you when you're actually doing something. Whether it's a team, people, whatever it is. Man, if you're not doing nothing in this world, ain't nobody talking about you. Only when you get to the top of that mountain do people care enough to hate you. Hate takes energy. So let them hate. Generally speaking, though, I'll treat it on a case-by-case basis. But I don't think at all, once this team reaches the 50, anything they do primarily, I don't even think about. That's just how I've conditioned myself because I understand the pieces. I understand the coach. I understand what they're doing. And I think fundamentally you're going to see other teams start to do this. I think you're changing the way people view football. I really do. 248-539-9797. Would love to hear about it. And again, this Tigers thing with Alex Cobb, I'm not done with it. If you have reactions to it, let's roll. We'll get a little football today in the mix as well. May have to table college football playoff talk till tomorrow, but that's fine. Both our in-state teams stink, so that doesn't matter. David, any ticket texts you want to get to here before we do a little football today?
Glad the Tigers can spend tens of millions on a home plate club that no regular person will be able to afford tickets to instead of actually trying to win baseball games.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Another one. Hey, guys. I renewed my season tickets this year and am already regretting it. This is laughable.
Listen, I can't tell you whether you made a good decision or a bad decision until I see the rest of the offseason.
There's plenty of time. You're right. There is plenty of time.
But I can tell you here today and what the reports look like, I know which way I'm leaning.
This latest signing of a 37-year-old pitcher for 1 year has me more convinced than ever that Scott Harris sold himself to Chris on the fact that he could rebuild this team on the cheap.
Well, when you're taking a job interview and they're asking you for your plan and you offer the plan, and if it coincides with the way the owner wants to do business, it might help you getting that job. I don't think you're crazy to suggest it. Imagine somebody rolling in here and going, Chris, booby, baby, I'm going to need a payroll of about 2.25 to do what I need to do here. I mean, how fast would that job interview be over?
Thank you for your time.
Right. Now, versus guy who comes in and says, I can turn water into wine, and you can be as fiscally as responsible as you want. I'm ready to get to work. I know which guy that is getting hired there. I don't know if that's what's been done. But, there's no scenario I would ever take a job if this is how I have to run it. Not if I plan on winning a World Series. You're never winning this way. 29 of the last 30 years, the team who's won the World Series had a top 14 payroll. That's just facts. I'm not interested in winning so people spend their money. I'm interested in winning so I get a parade. Those are two distinctly different things. All right, 4:45. Great to have you with us. We will get back to the Dan Campbell business, back to the Tigers' first signing of the offseason. Woof. But let's touch the table on some football briefly. David, music. So, David, I want to lead with something for you and Kenny.
All right.
And it is the following. Both of you are shameless playoff expansion truthers, much like Mr. R.L. Beard, who is not here today with the day off. Simple question. Now that you've seen the field and here's your playoff expansion, do you feel like you got what you dreamt of?
Looking at this field, I think this is, I don't know if it's what we dreamt of, but it's certainly what we expected, right? I mean, you look at teams like SMU being in there, you look at Arizona State. I mean,
garbage?
Yeah, exactly. It was always, once you expanded past four, even past eight, you were always going to be liable for at least a couple of garbage
teams.
There's the
key.
And that's exactly
Kenny Cott nailed it, David. For me, and Rico and I would always argue, if you were going to expand, eight was where you lost me. Anything beyond eight, you lost me. Enjoy every point spread being 10 points. What do you think, David?
That is the problem. I'm not interested in any of these first-round matchups.
Indiana, Notre Dame, geography, teams that refuse
because
to play
each other, yes.
Yeah, I mean, could be interesting, but even then, that's already out to 8.5. But okay.
Yeah, Clemson's not good. Tennessee's not good. SMU's not good. Indiana's not good. Arizona State as a four seed is like, what are we doing here?
Hey, by the way, Georgia without Carson Beck and Texas blows. Okay, next.
I actually had a question about this field when I was looking at it. My initial question was going to be, who has the easiest path to the championship?
Primarily, Penn State.
I thought it was either Penn State or Georgia. Now we have no Carson Beck, so it's got to be Penn State, right?
It's Penn State, which is the flaw in all of it, Kenny. Why is the five seed, or why would Penn State have an easier path than the undefeated number one overall Oregon Ducks? Look, it's a flawed concept designed by greedy scumbags. 12 never made any sense. You either go 8 or go 16. You don't do bye weeks. It's the whole thing is it's a kerfuffle. And I don't like kerfuffles.
Yeah, it's a lot going on there. They need to really look into this for next year.
Now and ask me what you want to ask.
Maybe they'll have help from this guy because Bill Belichick and North Carolina are talking. And I'm going to be honest here, Mike. When I saw this story last week, I thought initially was a joke. I'm like, okay, whatever. Maybe they're just drumming up interest for their job. But he spoke today on Pat McAfee, and it seems serious that they're really talking about hiring Bill Belichick. One thing, though, the report says is that Bill would want Steve, his son, to be named the coach in waiting. Your thoughts on this?
Okay, first of all, the bigger joke is a 73-year-old dating a 23-year-old, but I digress. I honestly think this is messaging showing people how desperate he is to coach because the NFL hiring cycle's coming and maybe pushing North Carolina to see how crazy they're willing to get. But man, do I have a hard time with him. Can you imagine Bill Belichick recruiting at this stage of his life? You think this guy's going to pander to the ego of a 17-year-old? This guy doesn't pander to 30-year-old grown-ass men who make more money than he does. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I won't believe it until it's I want more money. And he's like, what are you talking about? More
We're
money.
On to Cincinnati. I don't understand any of it. I won't believe it until it's signed. It feels like, hey, show people how badly you want to do this so when the big boys come calling, we can do something.
Yeah, maybe his girlfriend is a graduate of North Carolina. I don't know.
I have no idea. You know what? Leave it alone. Just keep rolling.
Let's get to the next thing here because Scatabubu, the running back for Arizona State. I know that's not how you pronounce his name, but that's how
I do. No, it's but it's fun to call him Scatabubi. It's great.
He is saying that he deserves to be in New York for the Heisman. He is fifth in rushing yards, top 10 in touchdowns. First question I have for you is,
sure.
Should he be in New York? The second question is, why do we need three individuals or five individuals this year? It should just be two.
It actually should be one. I mean, it's Travis Hunter's award, period. Listen, man, I don't got a problem with Scatabo. Go ahead. Talk your talk. He's a really good football player, but no, man, I don't think he's a Heisman Trophy guy. But Scatabobs. Boobs. His friends call him. I mean, he's good, man.
It was fun watching him again on Saturday. He is good.
He's kind of like Toby Gerhardt.
That's a great pull. You're right about that.
And no, I'm not just saying it because he's white. I'm just saying stylistically the way they play. I mean, if you want me to comp him to Derrick Henry, I will. The problem is he's just not that fast. But damn, he's physical.
Very much so.
Reminds me of Toby Gerhardt. He's just kind of a refrigerator with sneakers. And you can't really take him down.
Let's get over to Oklahoma State there because Mike Gundy is staying at Oklahoma State. Multiple reports said there was a standoff, and the standoff was cutting his pay so that you can use that money for the NIL market, which is wild in the new era of college.
They cut his pay because he went winless. He went 0-9 in conference play.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Should they have just fired him?
Well, yes and no. The reality is he's done a great job at Oklahoma State in the big picture. I think he's got 5 or 6 10-win seasons. There's no one in OSU history who's done that. But for Gundy, he had to say yes because he'd never get hired again anywhere else. Truthfully, this is it. He's in his 60s.
Yeah, you're right.
Who's hiring him?
North Carolina.
Yeah, right.
I'm just joking here. Let me preview something that we might do tomorrow here because Alabama... Their AD is basically saying we are going to change our non-con scheduling. It says in an era that they evaluate the strength of schedule, we are going to go ahead and maybe look into changing the non-con schedule.
To who? You played Western Kentucky, South Florida. Didn't you play like a nun school? Oh no, you played Mercer in November.
I was about to say Mercer. Yeah.
All right, they played Wisconsin. Listen. The SEC schools, they don't have the ability to cry schedule unless you're doing what George is doing and you're playing Clemson in the non-con. Or last year when Bama took on then Big 12 opponent Texas. The reality is no one should schedule anyone. This is why I've always fought Rico to the death on this, and I wish he was here today. Because he's like, oh, no, people are going to play each other because it matters. No, it doesn't. SMU is showing you, play no one. Indiana, play no one. Penn State, play no one. There's no benefit to scheduling. You're still going to get left out.
And so let's close it out with this here because Rico is not here. So I want to give you a chance here. Are you excited? Army and Navy is this weekend. They meet for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy.
I'm not excited. It's just a game I enjoy watching because of the history and the pageantry. I was excited Friday night when you brought up Tulane from the Bayou and showed them what real weather looks like, and Army bludgeoned them to death. Tulane was out there in winter parkas. Army, no hand warmers, no sleeves, no hoodies, no mercy. They bludgeoned Tulane, David.
Yeah, Tulane was looking for that heat, weren't they?
Oh, those kids wanted no part of this. Plus, the side of the stadium that shields you from the wind of the Hudson River is knocked down because they're doing a stadium suite project. Hey, shout out Michigan State. Might want to wake up when Army's building a new stadium and you're not. The point is, I'll digress. I was thrilled at that. This is just a tradition. You settle in by the fire and you watch America's best and brightest.
Yeah, I'm just a little upset we didn't get the back-to-back game because of the AAC championship.
I'm not. It would have taken a lot.
That would have been a lot. Back-to-back? Man, that would have been tough. That is your College Football Blitz.